debts.
Dune. Dune Part 2, this last weekend. It's taking over the world.
It is. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know what else to say. Everybody has... It was so good, I was surprised at how empty my theater was.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was opening weekend. I went Friday. So it opened Thursday. I went Friday night. And I went after the kids went to bed. So I had an 8:30 showtime. I booked tickets on Thursday before going Friday 8:30.
Yeah.
I had my pick of the entire theater where I wanted to sit.
Lisa Nagaib. You're him.
I'm him. As it was written, Joe.
As it was written.
I'm telling you, it was more like filled out when I got in there. Like people, obviously it was not an empty theater, but I was just so surprised because Kevin booked like a month ago and was like, the tickets are going to sell out. The tickets are going to sell out. So I was really nervous. I was like, I'm just going to have to fit in where I can because of kids. And Katie and I talked and she's like, yeah, okay. At first I was going to go to the 6:21 and miss bedtime because they only had released the Epic showtime. I went to the MJR.
And that's
their version of the enhanced experience with like, you know, the recliners and the extra sound system, whatever.
Yeah.
And they only had like 5 showtimes for that one. And I was like, I guess they're only showing this a few times. Like I'm going to have to go to the 6:21.
Right.
And then that's when the day before it had opened already or was opening that night and they had released all the other showtimes. And I was like, oh, look, there's like so many better options. So, it's phenomenal. It's absolutely
so good.
It's so good. I want to go see it again because I spent too much of the movie saying this isn't really how they did it in the book. I'm surprised it's how they're doing it in the movie.
Right.
So I'll have to go see it again just to enjoy it as a movie. I cannot wait to watch Dune Part 1, Dune Part 2 back to back.
Oh, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so I'm like I've been picking at Dune Part 1 again just here and there putting it on at night. Man, that's good. And then I just keep thinking about Part 2 and I'm like that's pretty good. I don't really remember much of the book. We read that like 2 summers ago, I think.
Not only do I not remember much of the book, the second half of that book is so much of an information dump. And they skipped a lot of that in the movie. I know I'm not the only one because I've seen TikToks about it. There is a whole section of Paul actually learning how to be a Fremen, not just what they show in the movie.
Yeah.
But like a whole section of the book where like him and Stilgar are having one-on-one lessons. Chani's like actually teaching him how to do things on a regular basis, everyday life. And Paul falls in love with being a Fremen, which is why it's so hard for him to make the choice. Like he came in the movie. It felt like, okay, we're going to take these people over and get revenge. And then suddenly Paul doesn't want to do that anymore. And then suddenly he does want to do it again. Right. Like it was like a little bit, they're just for me. And it's hard to say this about a 3-hour movie. There wasn't enough time spent on him actually learning how to love being a Fremen because all the things they showed about him loving being a Fremen was getting revenge on the Harkonnens. Right. So it felt like his motivations never changed. Like it felt like the whole time he just wanted to get revenge on the Harkonnens.
Right.
When in the book they do, like, obviously Frank Herbert writes a very long section about him actually not wanting that anymore. He just wants to be a Fremen and, like, live as a Fremen. But he had, like, the prophecy takes him to a place he can't. So,
it helps that there's a 5-year time jump.
Yes.
In the book.
Yes.
That he can do all that. Which is beneficial to that piece of it, I think. But I think that they played it well. There's a certain character that's not born in the movie, which probably good because it's a really weird situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question for you. We've known about Austin Butler's passing for a long time. We've all made our jokes.
Yes.
Did he live up to your expectations? Did he surpass your expectations? Did he fall short of it?
He surpassed it because my expectations were way down here.
That's fair. That's fair.
And the reason they were down here was because I was like, this man just wants to be Elvis for forever.
Yes.
And, but now, I don't think he can do a movie where he can't do a voice.
It's so funny. I had that exact same thought because, so, for everyone, I mean, it's minor spoilers. It's, like, character, like, exposition. He copies, what's his name?
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård's voice in the movie.
Yeah.
And Stellan Skarsgård, like, loves it. I watched an interview of him, like, saying, like, yeah, he, like, didn't check with me. He just did it, and it was really good. I was like, that's great. But now he has to copy that voice, copy Stellan Skarsgård's voice. The other big thing he's in is that Masters of the Air on Apple TV, and our buddy DeRojo watched it. And I asked him, and he's like, it's the Elvis voice. He's just using the Elvis voice. And so, like, I've seen you in three things, and you've used the same voice in two of them and copied another actor's voice for the third one.
Yeah. So maybe he's not even a good actor. Maybe it's just his voice. No, I thought he was good, though. I thought Fade was done well. The only thing I don't like about Fade, Ralpha, and then we'll move on to this podcast that we do that's not a movie Dune podcast. He's so tiny. And, like, they have him, like, kicking Dave Bautista's ass.
That's,
like,
the hardest part of this whole thing. Not the hardest part, but it was very shocking. Because they're like, hey, you're going to be a Harkonnen. We made the Baron is so gluttonous that he's big and fat. And then Batista's character is gluttonous in a different manner where he takes bodies and blood and things like that. And that's why he's so strong. That was the idea of it. And now you have this small, skinny psycho. And it's like, I just don't buy that in the sense of being a Harkonnen, right? Like, he would be large, either of eating or of killing or of whatever, but he would be large because he's a rich Harkonnen, right? So, that was a little jarring when you have Stellan Skarsgård, who's made up to be this huge, monstrous man, and then you have Dave Bautista, who just is a huge, monstrous man.
Yeah.
And then you have tiny little 5'11", skinny Austin Butler. It did make him seem more like a psycho, right? To actually get in there and do it.
He was, I mean, he's smart. He's smart is what he gets at. Is he's smart and he knows what he's doing. But it's good. It was a good movie. I'm glad I watched it. Definitely want to watch it again. And I'll tell you what, people out there, go read Dune Messiah, because that's really gonna wrap up this. I don't know what you want to call it. Era. Of Paul Atreides.
Yes. I'm going to go to the library and pick up Children of Dune.
Are you? Yeah, I'm going to go find an audio version and listen to it. Because I can't sit and read. That's not for me. That's not who I am anymore.
No. Yeah, you haven't sat down except to do this in years.
And I tell you what, we've been here for an hour and I'm already ready to go run around.
See?
And, like, do a lap or something. Just call me Muad'Dib. Little desert sand mouse.
That's wise.
Welcome to Big Dad Energy, the journey of parenting and adulting through the eyes of two young dads. I'm your co-host, Joe Lopez, and with me, as always, is my co-dad, Jared Mansky. Jared, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. It's hockey trade deadline day, and... For the first time in 7 years, the Red Wings are in a playoff spot. So,
wow.
We are, I'm back on a sports grind. Could you imagine a year?
Back to it.
The Tigers are picked to win the AL Central. This could be a year where the Lions, Red Wings, and Tigers all make the playoffs. And I just don't know what I would do with my, we've had so many years of terrible, terrible sports in this town. Like, terrible sports. At one point, all four Detroit sports teams were on the list for the longest losing streak, like in their respective.
Okay.
Obviously the Lions had gone 0-16 before, so that's permanent. The Red right. Wings, I think, in 2020 had the like set the record for the longest losing streak. The Pistons this year set the record for the longest losing streak, and the Tigers had one from like the 80s. Like,
yeah.
And now we're looking at maybe 3 out of 4 major sports teams making the playoffs.
Crazy. It's crazy. What a time to be alive. Boy, I'm glad I'm a football guy now. I like it. I like being a football cool. guy. I watched Jason Kelce's retirement.
Did you cry?
Press conference. I didn't cry, but I was like, this is a little long, Jason. We're here for an hour. Just tell us that you're retiring already. But I thought it was good. He was great. I enjoy his podcast a lot, New Heights with Jason,
mm-hmm.
or with Travis. It's a great podcast. It's fun to watch.
They're fun guys. Yeah, they're very entertaining.
Like, I'm like, dude, I hate you and Kevin. I'm on like the Lions Instagrams looking at their draft picks and stuff and how the combine went mm-hmm. and stupid. I hate you guys.
You love it.
It's so dumb. Real quick update on the kids. How are they?
They are good. I think the small one's going through a mental leap.
No.
Yeah, he's talking a ton. And then, like, last night, that little peek behind the curtain, we're recording again yeah. over lunchtime on a Friday because it didn't work out throughout the week. Last night, we were going to, and I was running late because he just decided he wanted to stay up an hour and a half past bedtime, you know, and just decided that. And then, you know, you turned into Grayson.
Great.
You know.
Yeah, Grayson missed his nap yesterday, and he was being a real jerk.
And so we had that last night, and then he woke up at 5:50 this morning, rolled over and went, da-da, da-da, at 5:50 in the morning. Like, dude, absolutely not. This is you can't go to bed an hour and a half late and wake up an hour early and decide that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially Ben has always been a Katie sleeper. Like, go to bed super early, wake up early, but go to bed early. Right?
Yeah.
Will is much more like me, where even he doesn't go to bed super late, right? Like, our kids are not your kids.
Right.
Your kids go to bed monstrously late. But, like, he'll stay up to 7:30, 7:45 some nights, and it's not that big of a deal. It's a little annoying because, like, one kid's asleep, and you're like, all right, let's just get this going on so I can get the rest of my night going.
Yeah.
But he also will sleep in till 7, right? So he'll sleep, like, 7:30, 7:45, sleep until 7. Ben,
yeah.
asleep by 7, up at 6 consistently.
Right.
That's
great.
So it's when he wakes up early like that, you're like, this is not a good sign. Can't go to bed late and wake up early. That's not, but he's like, I got a bunch of new words. He's talking a whole bunch.
Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's fun. It's just like,
I love when they get into that phase where they start to talk more, less babble, more talk. Grayson's at the very end of babble, like a few things he'll say, and I'm like, what? Like, he definitely knows what he's saying. I'm like, point to it. Tell me what you're saying. And then once he like points to it, I'm like, oh, I can.
Yes.
I get that. But yeah, when as they start progressing into those words, oh, it's great.
It's the other thing I noticed with him too. So we have these little. So Katie bought like a table that you can put sensory bins into, so they'll sit in the table and you can play in the table, and we had to move that downstairs because Ben was taking all the sand out of it and dumping it on the carpet, and we're like, okay, well,
of course,
can't do that. But the stools we left upstairs because the boys will put them down and stand on them to get to like the counter or brushing their teeth and things like that. Will go get a stool, lift it up himself, walk it over and put it down himself and climb up.
I love that.
Yeah, until he's climbing up by himself and trying to turn the kitchen sink on all hot and stick his hand underneath it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so
it's funny.
That's been good. And then Ben's just chugging along. He's having a good time. How about your
chugging
kids?
Along. That's cool. Oh man, Grayson's so whiny. I love this boy so much because he's so sweet and so happy, but he gets so whiny when he is tired or upset. Like, he just cries and whines and mopes so much, and at night to go to bed he will lay in his bed and scream. For right now it's mom, they're both in a mom phase, which is very annoying for bedtime, but Grayson will lay in bed and just be like, no, mommy cuddle, mommy cuddle, and then drinks 18 bottles. Like, he's very whiny, and like, you know, if Willow gets near him sometimes, he'll just like kind of throw his head back and be like, whoa, Willow, and just, it's like, dude, all right, let's, okay, settle down, bring it down a little bit. But he's great, he's fun, he's funny, but he also drinks a lot, and throughout the night he'll drink probably, I don't know, 5 4-ounce bottles. Like, he'll wake up and need a bottle to go back to bed, but because of that he's peeing through his clothes almost every night. So yeah, every night we're changing his bedding, we're changing his clothes, we're changing his diaper every time he gets up. So that's what's really annoying right now is this drinking a bottle, because he wakes up so often that he's just peeing through everything. So we're like constantly washing his bedding and clothes all the time because he just pees through it all. Cora, on the other hand, still doing well, still chugging along, still defiant as hell. At night, it's rough. You know, we have a lot of nights of fighting her, and we've talked to her teachers about it, and her teachers have talked to her about it as well. About, like, hey, you can't hit, you can't yell, you need to listen to mommy's rules. And they don't see that Cora at all at school.
Oh, wow.
You know, so Cora, it's really when she's home and she's got had a lot of tablet time, or she's really tired, or she doesn't want to go to bed, are like kind of the times where she's the worst. But other than that, she's pretty good. She's still smart as a whip.
Yeah.
That kid, she is just the smartest human. Yeah, they're good. They're cute. Yeah. And they have new fixations, which has led me into our real quick topic today of our top five saddest Disney Pixar moments.
When you approached me with this, I was like, man, I haven't thought about this in a long time, right? My son watches 3 movies. Cars.
Okay.
Encanto and Coco.
Okay.
Those 3 movies, okay. And that's it.
And those three, they have moments, but they're not particularly sad movies, I don't think.
And honestly, Katie doesn't like the sad Pixar movies. She doesn't like the part. Like, we can never watch Tarzan. Just can't.
Oh, no.
First off, if you know my wife at all, which you do, anything involving animals getting hurt is just a no, it's just a no-fly zone. It's just not going to happen. So I had to really dig deep because I have not watched a sad Disney movie probably since middle school, high school.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to start. I'm going to go number 5 and I'm going to kick it off.
Yeah. Let's go into
this. This is not, I did have one that watched relatively recently. And I say relatively because like I watched it in college, not in high school.
Yeah.
I'm going to go number 5 is Anna and Elsa's parents dying on the ship at the beginning of Frozen.
Pretty bad. That's a pretty tough moment in that movie.
They do at the beginning of Frozen, not to whatever, it's 10 years old now.
The 10-year-old movie.
Yeah. They do so much work at the beginning to show how much their parents care, right? Like, the kids are so happy-go-lucky, and then Elsa has these powers, and their parents care so much, and they take, you know, to the gnomes, and they you know, do so much. And
yeah,
you can tell they had a plan on how to deal with Elsa's stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then they die, and the plan just kind of goes terrible because they're not there. And it's just such a sad moment. And so that was number 5 on the list.
Okay. Mine is from The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Good Dinosaur?
A long time ago, but...
Okay. So mine is the moment at the very end where Arlo, the dinosaur, drops Spot, this little cave boy, to a new family of cave people.
Okay.
And they've been through this journey together, and Arlo's trying to basically impress his family, because his dad, I think, died, was hunted or something. But his dad died, and he's trying to prove that he can be part of the family and be tough and not be scared. And at the very end, so he makes his journey with this boy. At the very end, he finds these people that he realizes are going to be a better fit for Spot, the boy, than he will be. So he gives Spot to the boy, and they have a moment of just like non-verbal goodbyes, and Arlo just walks away, and it's so sad.
That's very sad. And very sad. Yeah,
and it's a good moment in this movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen.
So I realize
that's my number five.
I have not seen that movie because it's a newer movie. It's not a classic Disney movie.
Yeah, probably within the last like 7 years. Yeah.
I have not seen definitely it, not. But my nephews have seen it and warned Katie that she can't watch it. So
that's funny.
Well, all right, my number four. It might feel a little low, but Andy leaving for college at the end of Toy Story 3.
That's my number four.
Wow, look at us! Look at us! very sad moment. I think. Sad because it tied to our own childhood, right? Like,
absolutely. It happened in 2010, like right as I graduated high school.
It like the timing was. If I watch it now, I don't know if I would feel as sad, especially because I know they've milked that cow a few more times. So like, it definitely lost its juice afterwards. Like once they've gone back to the well, but in the moment, it was like. They waited a long time to make three. And you're like, is this going to work? Are you really going to make like a powerful movie? And then they nailed it and nailed the end of it.
Yeah.
And like the toys are sitting on the porch waving goodbye to Andy. It just heartbreaking.
Yep. Oh, it felt. I remember seeing this movie with my nieces and Kayla in 2010 and like being like, oh my God. Like, yeah, this is a moment because, he's going off to college. I was about to go off to college. I was saying goodbye to my nieces who were 13 at that time or something like that, or 10. Maybe they were 10. Yeah, they were 10, I think. But anyway, regardless, I was saying goodbye to my nieces who I'd been around my whole life and their whole life. And it was just this moment of me being like, oh, God, this is so hard.
So close to home.
But yeah.
It's so close to home.
So close. So I guess that's our number four.
Our number four. Look at that.
You want to go with your number three? Do you want me to?
I'll hit it. Back to the well of parents dying, because this happens in Pixar movies all the time. Tarzan's parents dying at the beginning of Tarzan.
Yeah.
The cruise ship sinks. They get on a lifeboat. They make it to the island. They find a treehouse. You're thinking, it's gonna be great. They're gonna make it. And the jaguar kills the parents, leaves the baby,
kills them.
And yes, the gorillas pick Tarzan up, but you got to think like, what if the parents just didn't have to die?
Yeah,
right.
What if? We'll never know because that jaguar ate him.
So
ate him dead.
Very sad. Gut wrenching. There's a lot of points in that, a lot of parts of Tarzan I could have picked for like the most sad moment, but I felt like that one in particular was just particularly brutal.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It is. It's really bad. Phil Collins just nailing the music
soundtrack.
So good. My number three is from Onward.
Okay, I haven't seen it purely because I know it's sad.
You should see Onward. It's very good. It's very you. It's about finding like the magic.
That is very me.
And that's exactly what it is. It's like they're trying to find magic. These elves. Like, it's so good. It's very you. But I'm going to spoil the end of it for you here.
That's fine.
Sorry. The whole point of this movie is Ian, the younger elf, I think he's an elf, wants to impress his dad, who passed away right before Ian was born. Ian has an older brother named Barley, who worships his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to find the magic, and Ian's dad left him this crystal. And as they're doing the spell to bring Ian's dad back, it doesn't work all the way, and you have his legs are there the whole time, but like not his upper body. So at the end of it, they finally get this spell to work. And again, sorry, I'm spoiling this whole movie for you and everybody else out there. But there's only a few moments to talk to their dad. And Ian finishes the spell from afar so that his older brother, Barley, can properly say goodbye to their dad. And he can't. And all he wanted to do was meet his dad for the first time. But Barley, who had known his dad for several years, didn't get to say a proper goodbye. So Ian gives up the moment for him to see his dad and talk to his dad, for Barley to have that closure with his dad. And for me, as a guy who lost my dad when I was 13, I saw this movie and I cried. I haven't cried in a movie in a long time. And this was a moment where I was like, holy shit. I'm crying at this movie because it's this weird kind of closure-y.
Yeah.
This is something I didn't know I needed kind of thing. So, poof.
Oh,
tough.
That's hard. One.
Yeah.
Whew. Man, Pixar.
All right.
Come on. Disney and Pixar, right? Cause,
yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure because I don't think I stuck to just Pixar. I definitely didn't because this next one isn't. Number two.
Yeah.
Fox and the Hound.
Oh, my God.
When Fox has to leave.
Yeah.
There's literally nothing more I can say. They were a dog and a baby fox that were best friends, and the fox grows up to just not be able to live with them anymore because he's a fox. And they have to send him away into the forest. And there's just nothing more I can say about that. That is...
God.
If my number one wasn't so heartbreaking, this would be the unquestioned number one. But I think the one I have at number one is accurately put because it had a strong... Like, it's something I still think about to this day. So, that Fox and the Hound when Fox has to go is, like...
Oh, God.
They're best friends, Joe. They're best friends.
They're best friends. They've been through a bear attack,
yeah.
I think, at that point. Or that's later in the movie.
I think that's
like,
late. I think the hound saves the fox when the bear attacks or something like that's the conclusion of the movie. But still, they're best friends. They grew up together. They went everywhere together. They did everything together.
Yeah. Kayla loves that movie. And it is. And that, like, I think she likes it a lot because of how sad that moment is. And like when the dog goes like, oh, woo, woo,
yes,
I'm a hound dog.
Such a good
so
movie.
Sad.
Very sad. Very sad moment.
Very sad. So my number two, and this is what caused me to bring this up, is Cora's got a fascination. Her obsession right now is Inside Out.
Okay.
To the point where she watched it with Kayla's parents when she stayed the night. She told Kayla's dad, I wish I could see in my head and see my emotions. Like, it's just so cute. But Bing Bong leaving and jumping off of a rocket so Joy can make it out of the chasm of like lost memories, and he fades away and just says, you know, go take Riley to the moon as he fades away.
That
Joe,
I have not seen Inside Out. It's just Pat, you know, too soon for me, or, you know, too late for me, too early for my kids. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
That sound is a TikTok sound.
Yeah.
And I never knew where it came from. I didn't know, but it's a very sad sound, like, and how they use it.
Yeah.
And now knowing the context beyond, like, that is heart-wrenching.
Bing Bong is her imaginary friend that she had growing up, and he's stepping away and, like, disappearing so that Joy, the main emotion, can get back up where she needs to be, because they're stuck in a cavern. and Bing Bong has to jump off because he weighs too much, and fades away and says, take our girl to the moon. And it's like, oh, and oh, Michael Giacchino does the score to the movie, and it's an amazing moment with the score that happens in this moment. It's like, oh, the music in the moment is just, oh, kills me. And Cora just like, she loves the movie, and she's like, every time it happens, she goes, Bing Bong's disappearing. I'm like, yeah, he is.
God, it's good that it's good that your wife is a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because boy.
Yeah. Ugh, it's tough.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
What's your number one? Why do we do this? Well, because I had this dumb idea.
I know.
Now we're feeling feelings.
Now we're going to be feeling feelings. It's a Friday afternoon. We're going to be feeling feelings all day. It is movie night. We'll see which one of our three movies we watch tonight.
There you go. Just rotate them all. Yeah. Go through it. All
right.
Ours will probably be Inside Out.
Mine,
I guess,
might be niche, because this was popular when I was like in middle school and my siblings were small enough to watch Disney movies a lot.
Okay.
I don't know how many people actually really watch this movie. Did you watch Brother Bear?
Okay. I never did.
Yeah. See, it just was in a weird middle ground of like, for us, we were like high school aged. My siblings are 10 years younger than me, so I got a little bit extra like exposure to those. In Brother Bear, I'm going to give you the quick...
Brother Bear came out in 2003.
Oh, wow. That's older than I thought it was. But still, like, I was in middle school, right?
The phase where Disney classics were being made, they stopped doing princess movies, and they started doing Atlantis and Emperor's New Groove and Brother Bear. Yeah.
The plot of Brother Bear, it's about an Inuit tribe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he has to find his spirit animal. Like, he has to go on his journey and find his spirit animal. And he's kind of arrogant. Like, he's an arrogant guy, all this stuff. And he gets punished by the spirits and gets turned into a bear. Because he goes on a hunt and kills bears, which are, like, sacred to their tribe. Okay? So he gets punished by the spirit and turned into a bear. And he has to go on a journey to get turned back into a human. Okay? That's the whole thing. He meets this young cub who's an orphan named Kona.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And does the whole journey with Kona. Like, they're part of this tribe. They got to go on this big journey, all this stuff, with this young cub, Kona, who becomes his brother bear. Got it?
Yeah.
It's like his little brother. He's annoyed by Kona most of the journey. Goes through the classic Disney thing where he's annoyed, eventually falls, you know, he loves Kona. He realizes, you know, all that kind of stuff. At the end of the journey, you find out that the bear he killed was Kona's mother.
Oh, no.
So you fall in love. You, like, have a redemption arc with the main character. You fall in love with Kona.
Yeah.
The only thing you know about Kona is that he's an orphan and his mom's not bad. Or he doesn't know where his mom is. He doesn't know that she's dead. He doesn't know where she is. So Kona's looking for his mom. And I forget the main character's name. But the main character is looking for how to turn back into a human. They go on this journey together. They find Kona's mom. Kona's mom is dead because the main character killed her. Just the culmination of you have spent an entire movie falling in love with this little bear and, like, believing in the main character, and then to find out the reason he's turned into a bear and punished is because he killed Kona's mom.
Wow. Oof.
Truly and utterly traumatizing. I think about this more than I just recited to you the plot of Brother Bear that I haven't seen in 15 years, and I'll never forget it. Because, like, that, not only are bears my favorite animals, but that whole wrap up to lead into that, and that's and at the end, obviously, it all works out. He turns back into a human.
Yeah.
He keeps Kona in the tribe with him. Like, it all works out because it's a Disney movie. But, like, that being the climax of the movie was just, like, gut-wrenching.
Oof. Yikes, a Rooney. That's rough.
Terrifying.
I have to watch that. It sounds pretty good.
It's a very good movie. I cannot get Katie to watch it because, again, animals and, you know, danger.
Animals, yeah.
But it's a very good movie.
Yeah. My number one is Up.
Yeah, I should have The beginning of Up. One. Yeah, that one's really hard.
The beginning of Up is so brutal. And I think now as Kayla and I go on in our lives, it's harder looking back because you see... you see Carl and Ellie like meeting, and then they grow, fall in love, get married, and then you see them at the doctor's office having a miscarriage, and like that's tough, right? Like it's kind of the first movie that I can think of in this kind of kid age that shows a family having a miscarriage, which again is, you know, so much with what Kayla and I have gone through, that's tough to watch. And then all they want to do is go to Paradise Falls. And Carl finally saves up enough money to get her tickets to Paradise Falls. And then she gets terminally ill. And then she passes away. And Carl's by himself. And his whole life, he was there doing stuff for and with Ellie to lead up to this moment. And sickness just happens and takes her away. And it's like so tough. And Michael Giacchino, the goddamn genius, scored this movie too. And it's so good. Again, the music, because a lot of this whole intro is played without any words. It's just Michael Giacchino's music. And it's, like,
it's so done. It's so sad and so good and so sad. That's a very good one. That's a really good number one.
Yeah, and that's all I got to say about that. That's what we're at.
I'm going to give you an honorable mention because I think I would have replaced the Frozen one with this one. But you reminded me of something I haven't thought of in a long time about Score.
About what?
About like the score of the movie playing.
Score.
Like,
musical score.
The
musical,
the music behind it being so impactful to the scene.
Yeah.
Treasure Planet. Have you watched Treasure Planet?
I watched Treasure Planet to prep for our D&D session.
Beautiful.
Our D&D game.
Great inspiration.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie. Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls is playing.
Oh, yeah.
His dad steps onto the ship, and he runs out to the end of the dock and tries to grab his dad's hand as he walks on the ship, and his dad leaves forever. And Iris is playing... And he's just a small 9-year-old boy hanging on to the end of the dock. And it's just jamming as he like flies away into the sky. And you're like, I haven't thought about that in a long time. That to me was terrifying.
That's pretty brutal. That's pretty brutal. The other one I would add would be Mufasa dying in The Lion King.
Classic.
Right? Like, it's just, it's so sad. It sends Simba on his journey. But just wasn't
much. That one is hard to put in here because it's much sadder before you realize that the Lion King is just
Hamlet.
Hamlet. And I had to study Hamlet in high school as part of my honors class. And it's much less sad when you realize like the silliness that is Hamlet and what's actually going on. So,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's still sad every time I watch it. I mean, yeah, it's sad. Cora knows that it's happening now when it happens, so she asks to skip it when it comes up. She says, "Can we skip this part?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we can."
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what? Skip the whole beginning of the movie. Just start it with him showing up with Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we did it. Now we're gonna feel feelings.
Now we're gonna be sad.
But thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate you. If you haven't already, give us a like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. You know, we got some more stuff in the pipeline. I mentioned it last week. We're going to have a website with some tiers coming up that's going to be released very soon. Going to make a few more tweaks on it, and then you'll be able to buy some Big Dad merch and sign up for tier packages and whatnot. Which would be awesome and super helpful for us. I was able to buy a new camera with
it looks great.
Some money that
it does look
thank
great.
You with some money that we made from Forefathers from selling shirts. So also check out Forefathers shopforefathers.com and use code BDE25 at checkout. Will be super helpful. But thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you.
And go follow us on our social media. We're at Big Dad Energy Podcast on Instagram, and we're also at Big Dad Energy Podcast on YouTube. You can go look at Joe's brand new nice spanking camera on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a subscribe. We're going to keep doing more stuff. Once we get like a somewhat decent following on YouTube, we're going to start doing some live streaming stuff on there. There's some video games that Joe and I want to play, and we want to play with you guys. So go follow us on there and keep up to date on all the content we're doing. So thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. I'm Jared Schmansky.
I'm Joe Lopez.
Remember, play strong twice for you.
This has been a production of Planet Amp Podcast, powered by Pinecast.